Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Yesterday, we fell victim to a hoax. Lil Tay, the rapper, I didn't know about her at all. But she was reported dead because a notice of death has been published on her Instagram. But it turns out that her Instagram had been hacked, and it was all a hoax. You have to believe someone when they tell you, I'm not dead. And that is what Lil Tay is saying. She's not dead. Normally, facts don't care about your feeling. But on this particular question, generally, when you are able to say, I'm not dead, you are not dead. Barnaby Bruto says, JF had me buy 2.65 kilos of cheese when I got to Costco yesterday. Please, sir, never talk about cheese ever again. I still have my reserves of cheese. I mean, I'm going through it. I may have eaten already half of it. I may be at the half mark on my cheese reserve. So, Lil Tay, not dead. What do I have to say about it? I don't particularly care. She seems like a very hateable person, but I, of course, didn't wish on her death, and so I'm happy in general that she's not dead. Barbie, when JF discusses Barbie, I think this meme perfectly illustrates my position on Barbie. Barbie audience target, Barbie actual audience. That is exactly what happened with this movie. The autist dressed in black, psychopath at the border is the one who will most enjoy Barbie because he's the only one who saw the deep meaning of it. Whereas apparently this movie was meant for young people and I don't know, women and normies. That must be your, when you do a high budget movie, it must be your target audience. I was listening to, this is how crazy I've been on Barbie. I'm really happy that a good movie like this made it through the networks of movie production in 2023. It's not easy. It's not easy to pass these ideas under the rug enough that they can still show up on the screen. And I was looking back at this this video clip. Holy shit. You know, the Barbie song, the text in this is profound. Because there was someone recently, Faram, I think, was saying on Discord, I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world, life in plastic, it's fantastic. This is the ultimate black pill female view. And I was saying it's not so black pilled, it's female understanding their power. And I had not realized how genius this video clip is.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Ken.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
See how she launches her purse? Sure, Ken. She can only be positive. She can only be happy. This is not cringe at all. I thought it would be cringe. It's actually heartwarming to see a representation of females wanting to do stuff and being bound by social convention to be smiling and plastic and being willing. Despite the fact that you have a guy who's clearly depicted here as not deserving Barbie, really, you know, no hair, everything. So he is someone who over-displays being in a high class, but ultimately is genetically deficient, you know? And there he is, still getting the best of women. This is one thing we can't get anymore with this whole feminist mentality.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world.
There's always been something very special about the fact that the lady singing I'm a Barbie girl is not a Barbie-like entity. She doesn't have blonde hair. She has tattoos. But holy shit, as a teenager, was I looking at this and Whew, this woman I would have fucked. And see, there's the whole this they got so much of this in the movie. The whole idea that Ken starts playing piano and he doesn't even have to strike the notes perfectly. You know, he just has to smile and fake play the piano, and somehow some speaker is going to spat out the right music no matter what. Look at this. This is a beautiful female. And she is accompanied by the overaged man with a lack of hair, the teenager, irresponsible teenager with spikes on his head, and the red hair type of guy receives the balloon in the face. Now, this is where it gets intense. Look at this poem, okay? I'm a blonde bimbo girl in a fantasy world. Dress me up, make it tight, I'm your dolly. So there's this whole superposition in this video clip between I'm a doll, you can do whatever you want with me, in the sense of a kid playing with a doll, but also in the sense that ultimately it is the female ideal to be plastic, to be malleable, to be changeable toward the circumstance of her man, who just needs her to follow him, which is exactly what we don't have anymore. We don't have women willing to give up everything and follow a man. They want to stay attached to their social network, to their job, to their mother. You're my doll, rock and roll, feel- and see the doll here. The doll changes from the childish meaning of it to the sexual meaning of it. You're my doll, rock and roll, feel the glamour in pink. So the concerns of the males show up here. The glamour in pink, kiss me here, touch me there, hanky-panky. You can touch, you can play, if you say, I'm always yours. Unbelievable. Beautiful words. You can touch, you can play. Again, the superposition between the toy meaning and the sexual meaning, absolutely overwhelming. When is it that you're gonna hear a woman in 2023 say, you can touch, you can play? Their whole thing is about you can't do anything. The whole idea of the feminist concept of consent is, if you wanted to touch, you would have to ask. Mark D's channel says, you can touch. That doesn't sound very feminist. No, it doesn't. That's precisely what I'm saying. The carelessness of the female here, killing the dog by trying to touch him. Everything is in there. It's so, there's so much packed in there. And the whole, you can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Again, superposition, toy to sex. Make me walk, make me talk, do whatever you please. I can act like a star, I can beg on my knees. This is the peak female position in the world. I can act like I deny you everything. I can also decide that I give you everything. Everything relies on female decision making, and Aqua knows it. Come jump in. Rapish Ken here showing up in the pool. You know, we don't see it on this particular scene, but there's so much blue screening. We see basically their surrounding being blurry, and it almost makes it more perfect. It's exactly what you would want in this fake Barbie world. And the frustrated female who has lost an arm, and she says, yeah, while displaying movements of resistance, including splashing water onto Ken, who's waving her arm. See, this is perhaps the only thing that's missing in the movie. It always finishes good for Barbie and Ken. The movie is too subtle. The movie should have just reconnected with a good ending like this. Now, the ending that the movie gives is not bad, but it's too deep for most people to understand. The problem is you have to understand that somehow Barbie found her Ken in the real world, but it's too much for most people to process. If you can finish like this, this movie would be a 10 out of 10.
Oh, I'm having so much fun!
Well, Bobby, we're just getting started.
Oh, I love you, Ken!
Why is Ken depicted as creepy here? I think it's a particular choice, and it's weird because Ken isn't supposed to be creepy. I believe that Ken the doll isn't supposed to be creepy. Barbie the doll, though, isn't supposed to be stupid either. And so it's like this video clip was kind of a early 90s version of this whole idea of toxic masculinity. And kind of stupid femininity and a critique of the sexes. That is what ultimately this kind of imaginary setting is what made me excited that perhaps we could have a good movie in Barbie. Callum Oxworth says, do Shakira's hips lie or not, JF? Shakira hips don't lie. It's too ethnic. Sorry, I'm not interested in this music. Too ethnic. Barbie Girl was made by white people. It was white music. This, you can see that they're trying to make it even more ethnic than it needed to be, really. T.S. Apostolos says, JF, now play the Ice Spice / Nicki version of this song. What the fuck are these demons today? Ice Spice, Nicki version of Don't Lie. What are these things? Oh my god. They be chatting, I don't give a damn, and I'm still getting money, I know who I am. Tryna be, I'm thick cause I beat in oats. Bitch not taking shit from me but notes. Don't give a damn, and I'm still getting money, I give a damn, and I'm still getting money, I know who I am. My spinach, they tried to clone my image, they... No, I'm not feeling it. I can see the interest of having female rap in general. I don't object to good female rap. This female rap that is absolutely non-harmonic, I don't respect. So here, if you want the detail, like the difference between non-harmonic and harmonic rap, okay? Non-harmonic rap is a trend that has risen later, where they abandoned the whole idea that they were singing. And they've undergone a process of reduction of the harmonics down to... They talk to you like a Nintendo, sound card. So that's non-harmonic rap. They burnt they London bridges. None of them bitches British. I know they know the difference. And I just fell in love. See? Everything is about rhythm. Even the doesn't particularly distinguish itself from the speaking. Because it's all the same. It's all rhythmic rap. Now, if you want to see something serious in terms of harmonic rap, the Notorious B.I.G. featuring Bone Thugs and Harmony. See, they're still singing back in those days. So, Notorious B.I.G. here is trying to go in the style of Bone Thugs and Harmony. Of course, Bone Thugs and Harmony are the masters of harmonic rap. Notorious B.I.G. cannot equate them, but look when they start. 7 a.m. woke in the morning with Henny caffeine and green and nicotine. No dose, so pop a couple of those that are ripped up. Nigga, Mr. Clean, make it clean. Deep in my temple and I do get sentimentally stained with my instrumentality. And heat it especially for your team in the 45 and D will be in between the scenes, destroy your dreams. See, the fact that they stick with harmony doesn't keep them from outcompeting the females we've just heard on the rhythmicity also. I mean, this rhythmicity is much more complex. Yet, they still are in the domain of harmonics. You willing to die, we'll see. Time and a peace when it calls the scene, we mean mug, mo, trying to be perfect. Disciples with its survival tongue of a double X or triple. Six rivals spitting fire, that's the real truth, bitch. Breaking out for lies, my massage. Better be ready for all my dirt and shit. 6-5, it's wild, bless the child. The world of a... Okay, so that is the difference, and I've never followed onto the purely rhythmical trend. I think it's really a shame. Now, if you want to talk about good female rapping, M.O.P. and T.O.P., very simple, with Busta Rhyme. And you get into this part here. I get my dogs to do you dirty. They all 7:30. Rock a ski max, whether it's June or February. Now that is something I want to hear. June or February, I take your show money, take your throw money. You'll get that fool, cause I don't know money for my beats that hate slow money. I put them in the industry so they can come and take all your money. Wish I could bring pun back. Run that. Run that. Run that. So keep acting. keep acting like you don't know where the fun's at, and I will show you where the gun's at. Yo, yap, yap, yap. She tried to spaz out, then smack that. You told me rhyming, you still memorize it. Remy wants them diamonds. She wants the diamonds. That is very good female rap. So I don't object to female rap nor modern rap, but the problem is when they go into the absolute meaningless musical enterprise of giving up harmony. Yes, Feria says humans are supposed to have big butts because no other animals are upright like us. We can run for a really long time. It's an indicator of health. Obviously, now that most people have caloric surplus, that doesn't apply anymore. I don't know that we are made to have big butts. I don't know that that's the case. The real truth about Niger. This guy presents a hypothesis that, okay, the current conflicts in Africa are mostly motivated by the fact that you have a bunch of Western sympathetic countries in red. You have a bunch of anti-Western countries in green and a bunch of relatively neutral countries in orange, and that ultimately it boils down to France has still a lot of control over Africa because their history of colonialism there has led them to be in a particular position to extract resources from Africa. And the current conflicts would revolve around this. Mark D's channel says, "Salut, JF." Oh, well, he deleted his chat. You can repost it if you want me to read it, but it disappeared. Humanity is dead. They just drove right past her and left her for dead. I don't agree that this is humanity being dead. So this is in the Hawaii fires, I believe, where you'll see that there's a woman on the ground, and they decide not to save her. But looking at the amount of smoke, with this amount of smoke, if you get out of the car, you can fall unconscious for sure. There's enough CO in there, and you may be lacking oxygen enough that just getting out of your car would be enough to die. So it's not because you see a body on the ground that you have to rescue her. I don't think it's particularly anti-human to have left her there. I mean, she was probably already dead, and they had a chance to escape because they're in a car.
We're almost to the end of the meal. We're almost to the smokestack.
I mean, look at the horizon of horror and hell.
We're gonna line on the road now pretty soon. Somebody's down right there. Who? Somebody's down right there.
Yeah, somebody's down. Just go there. We cannot do nothing for her. Oh my god.
Oh my god, bro.
Just go there. Just go. Oh. We cannot do nothing for her.
What the fuck, dude?
Just go. Go, people, go. Beat the horn, Dad.
Oh my god, bro.
Oh. Dad, beat the horn. Just go.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's your judgment if you can or cannot do anything for her, but there was no evidence that she was alive, so I don't think it's a sign that humanity has gone bad. I would have probably left her also. speculation. X/Twitter is making its ad revenue sharing number dynamic. This likely indicates that the number needed to be part of the program is likely going down in the future. Well, I would love so, because 15 million impressions in 90 days is kind of the highs of my career. I would like to be rewarded less as a creator. Just give me $50 per month, Elon, if you want. I don't mind if you pay me less. But I don't like being forced to attain 15 million. Because you know what's happening, Elon? Every morning I wake up and I'm like, I have to attain 50 million. And I become extremized. I become radicalized. I'm like, okay, now, Jeff, you have to find a tweet that really offends people. And I radicalize myself like this. So why don't you put it at 5 million? 5 million is decent. I don't mind making 3 times less money. But I would like to continue expressing my thoughts on the public space. Because I can invent radical thoughts that will that I know will cause reactions. But it shouldn't be that way, right? I should just be rewarded for what I can generate. Don't make me act fake, Elon. Make me act okay and I'll be rewarded with whatever amount of money is fair toward me. But now I'm becoming crazy. I'm like, I wake up in the morning and it's like you have to imagine Hitler in the bunker type of scene. And I'm like, I'm going to say it. Elon, press up the accelerator, unpress the accelerator, de-radicalize me, put this threshold at 5 million so that I can get revenue from Twitter without reaching these crazy numbers. Mark D's channel sends a super chat, $10. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, "Salut Jeff, thanks for the show. Here's an old song I like. Patrice O'Neill talked about it in his podcast. The SOS band, Just Be Good to Me, 1983. Well, you are outside of my... You're outside of my years of interest. Oh, it's quite entrailing. Okay, are you gonna start or what? Oh, no, I cannot help this. I cannot like this. This is where music has gone bad, let me tell you. Go Away says, "When is JF gonna start paying us for our regular chat contributions?" Never! It's all mine. I appropriate your art. A BC father was jailed for speaking out about school transitioning daughter as one is appeal in Canada. Okay. Good news. Why is it that we can't get a quick explanation on TikTok? It's like, yeah, tell me what. Okay, no, it's not playing. TikTok is crap. It is crap creator doing crap videos, crap information, crap compression of the info into useful time. CNN has endangered the lives of Ukrainian soldiers and used our fallen heroes for rating.
This is Sergeant Sarah Ashton Cirillo of the Armed Forces of Ukraine. And I'm coming to you today as both a non-commissioned officer in the Territorial Defense Forces and a person serving in volunteer capacity with the Armed Forces of Ukraine.
As someone was pointing out on Twitter today, I think it was BBC Crypto or BBC, some guy named BBC. This is a person in their basement posing as someone at the forefront of the Ukrainian war.
The message is clear. Over the last week, CNN, led by its diplomatic editor, Nick Robertson, has cast aspersions on all foreign fighters here in Ukraine, all of us who are soldiers fighting on behalf of Ukraine's liberty and liberation and against the Russian war of aggression. Nick Robertson, you referred to us as Western mercenaries. There's nothing further from the truth.
No, it is precisely the qualifying term. You are a Western mercenary. You can either be part of an army that has been raised nationally for the service of the nation, or you can be contractual workers working from outside of the nation. If you are a contractual worker working in the military business, you are a mercenary. That is the definition of it. You're so much a mercenary that the American army doesn't even keep official records that they have sent these people to Ukraine. So you are literally going there on your own without full approval or official approval of the Western nations you come from. That is what a mercenary is. It's someone who's going as a free agent in the military service domain. And it's like, for this person to pose and claim that this is somehow putting their lives at risk, no, it's putting your funding at risk. Because I don't know that the normie likes the idea of funding mercenary wars. I know that it excites someone like Lindsey Graham, but I don't know that the everyday person actually agrees with funding mercenaries for this war. A federal court has declared Trump a flight risk in secret subpoena decision. The disclosure of a subpoena of Twitter by special counsel Jack Smith was surprising in a number of respects, including the $350,000 fine imposed by the district court for a three-day delay as the company sought to address the demand. So that's when they were forcing Twitter to give the contents of Donald Trump's Twitter account. However, the two most surprising and concerning element was that they have had a hidden hearing on the justification that Trump was a flight risk. And normally it is not warranted when someone has delivered themselves to the justice. And, you know, there's no evidence that Trump could leave America and disappear in the wild. He's always been going on his own volition to the judiciary proceedings against him. So really, if Trump was a flight risk, he would have flown a couple of months ago, at least, if not a couple of years ago. So definitely Trump has decided to stay in America and face justice, and he has a confidence that he can get justice. But they have justified this whole subpoena onto Twitter to be held in secret. And this is very dirty. They keep doing this in family courts too. They always justify, oh, well, since it's a grave allegation, we're going to have a hearing without the man. And it's like, okay, well, then you don't have due process. Then all of this stuff that you do is meant to obfuscate my rights so that you can create a situation that's harder for me to get out of. You want to hear the uncountered allegations because you want to believe them. That is exactly what has happened in this case. Trump was not even told that this was happening. And you get prosecutors and people in family courts are getting all sorts of privileges by the court while you're not even there to explain why they shouldn't get it. Meanwhile, the NYT is not very warm to the idea of the Trump trial being televised. Why? Because they think it might play in the favor of Trump. It's like, hey, guys, we are persecuting this guy. Perhaps it's not a good idea to get any sort of publicity around this persecution. Author Nick Ackerman, a New York lawyer, claims the former president could, through gestures or well-timed outbursts, try to use the broadcast to sway public opinion. And they say it would be much better if we had experts, process and filter what we hear from the trial. Not surprising from NYT. That's what the whole bunch is about. That's why Sam Harris lost his mind. They can't accept free judgment by the people. They present themselves as rationalists and lovers of truth, but they're not willing to give a distributed, decentralized power to the people to make their own mind based on the facts. So they want an expert to always be cuddling the truth so that it's delivered to you in a way that will make you tend toward that view. The New York Times, Sam Harris, all these intellectuals who couldn't take the new generation of thinking, which is pre-engagement, internet engagement. You're not controlled by the top. You are just part of the bottom and commenting on stuff. They couldn't take it. And so I think it's very important that we see Trump. You know, they say there's a danger he will sway public opinion. Well, maybe there's justification for public opinion to be that this prosecution is ridiculous. Perhaps it would be good to hear Trump about it. After all, if we're going to hear all of his accusers, all of the people trying to ruin his life and ruin his chance of being a president, we might as well hear the other side too. Let people make their mind. Dr. Charlotte Proudman. Oof. Proudman. What a terrible last name for someone who wants to make this case. A message to pregnant women. Please give the baby your surname. You carried a baby for 9 months, gave birth, and will be responsible for that child for the rest of your life. When you're registering the baby, ask yourself, why is the father's surname more important than yours? And we know why it's more important. It's because the father has less parental certainty. And so the social more is to allow a labeling that is public that says, this is his son, this is his daughter. Because the woman cannot possibly not be the mother unless scientific, technologic, you know, insemination of prepared eggs, in vitro fertilization, leaving that aside. And in fact, even if the mother engages in vitro fertilization, she will know. So the mother always knows that she's the mother. The father doesn't. And the father is given, because of this, a supplementary guarantee by society that says, all right, you can definitely know that this is the son of his mother because he came out of her vagina. But on top of it, we give a social guarantee to the father that says we're going to give him your name. And someone was pointing out on the Discord today, you realize, Dr. Charlotte Proudman, that your strategy just pulls it back one generation further into the past. You are giving your name to your son or daughter. That name was the name of your father. So you're really giving the name of the grandfather in the end. Yeah, we have to understand that social mores are based around the division of work between the sexes and the division of energy investment and differential guarantees that can be made about parental belonging. Mark D's channel says, Jeff, some Scandinavian countries use the mother's surname. Is this because it was so cold over there that women could not cheat? I didn't know about this, but I think it's a good hypothesis. If you tell me that there's a country where that happens, I would bet that it's either a country where something in the environment makes it so that basically all the females that would survive would be females that would stay around their husband for so much that there was no possible mistaking. Or there can be other situations. I can think of a situation where there may be so much polygamy at some point that you reach the same conclusion. If you shuffle so much polygamy in that basically no single father ever knows if they're the father, you know, zero knowledge, like cryptographic zero knowledge levels of fatherhood. Perhaps in that kind of society too, eventually, it becomes the case that, well, males act collectively toward all the babies because it's like, I have a little chance that one of these 100 babies is mine. New guy says, too much polygamy. Yes, there is such a thing. There is such a thing as too much polygamy. And it starts at the same time as polygamy itself. I was also writing as a second justification. The father is more likely to be the parent from whom most wealth and social status is inherited. because wealth is more accumulated by males and because males transmit it to their children, it matters more for a possible mate to know the last name of your father than the last name of your mother. If I marry someone in a family that is known locally, the wealth will be attached to the male line. And so I might as well know the last name of the male line. And someone was adding, the mother-child bond is stronger than the paternal bond by nature. There's not much needed to encourage it. Paternal investment for offspring, planned or unplanned, is not a natural, automatic given. I wouldn't agree with this phrasing. I know where he's getting at. The thing is, it's not automatic, that's true, but to say it's not natural is false. So the problem is that paternal investment is dependent on the certainty of paternity, the availability of other mates, all of these factors. If I have a single child with a woman, and this woman then became evil to me, so impossible to get future children with her, and I'm not even sure that I'm the father of the son, all of this will play in a computation where, okay, if I have more hope of making more babies with another woman than zero, then it becomes more interesting. So he was concluding with something very true. Paternal naming is part of the societal bargain package that incentivizes it. Very interesting view. People are dunking on Sam Harris. I made a little clip myself yesterday, but people are absolutely floored. Guys like Sam Harris will engage in the most absurd whataboutery until their dying days, rather than admit they were wrong. But what if it had been airborne Ebola with a one-month incubation? It wasn't. We knew that very quickly. And such a disease couldn't even exist anyway. That is so beautiful because Sam Harris is grasping at straws so much. And he had said this months ago where he had said, you know, in a way, we got unlucky that COVID was benign. He would have wanted it to be tougher. He would have wanted it to be tougher to justify the technocratic invasion over individual rights. Holy shit, Sam. And the price for the funniest reinterpretation of what he's saying goes to Dave Smith. He says, imagine if everything was completely different. Then things would be different. Imagine if COVID had a 100% death rate and the vaccine was perfectly safe. RFK looks pretty stupid now. Sam Harris on his international humiliation tour. Yeah, imagine that the laws of physics don't apply. And imagine, with imagination, we can create a situation that would be perfectly fit for your moral response, Sam. It's like, yeah, I can imagine a world in which I'm like, okay, full fascism, fuck it, let's just rape people's rights into the ground and bury them. I can imagine a situation where I'm like, this is just the only thing I can do, I'm gonna do it. But it's never the situation of reality. As far as we know, there's not a virus that can make it with the 100% kill rate and all of the perfect situation that you invoke. Usferia says, that is exactly why, Sam, I wrote a blog post to you in 2013, I don't remember the exact year. And I told you, you can't make decisions about society based on harm and based on well-being, because ultimately society is an existential struggle. And your moral response may be perfectly fit for a society in which everyone was 80 years old and was at grave danger of dying from COVID. You know, if I'm an 80-year-old person and very afraid of death, which I'll never be, because I'm not afraid of death, and I probably won't get to 80 years old, but even if I get there, I will face death with welcoming arms as a liberation from the headache of the everyday living with human beings, you know? But ultimately, even with a benign virus like COVID, you can imagine a subpopulation of very old, very immunologically weak people for whatever reason. And you can imagine COVID, therefore, and all of the societal decisions that we make as an existential struggle between a bunch of people who want to survive and a bunch of people who will survive anyway. And because of this, you can't just make a sum of happiness. You can't make a sum of happiness because what's the value of the happiness of the whole person? Is it my fault as an immunologically healthy person that there's other people who will die because they meet dirt on the road? And is it my responsibility to undermine my own bodily integrity? One moment. I wanted to cough, but my mute button wasn't activated. Is it my responsibility to violate, to let the government violate my own body boundary based on predictions that the vaccine works somehow on transmission, which it doesn't, but suppose it would have worked, to save someone else who's weak, who cannot even face the environment itself? I mean, just me walking beside this person is a risk. If me walking beside this person is a risk, this person needs to become the bubble boy. They need to create their own grocery stores of at-risk people. We need to see if it's viable across generations, if there will be enough demand of weak people who want to go in these very special grocery stores where everyone has to wear a mask and has to show a vaccine passport at entry. They can do it, but they cannot get into my grocery store. They cannot impose the mask when I go shopping. Ed Krasenstein tweets a good video by Iaccarino, the new CEO of Twitter. You know, I'm heartwarmed about this passage here. And a lot of people have been critical of her because she uses words like freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. Lawful, but awful. Lawful, but awful. That is a funny one. But here's the thing is, this is still progress with respect to the state of the internet that I was afraid we would reach 1 year ago. 1-2 years ago, I was very afraid that we couldn't get a space of freedom on the internet at all. So the fact that she comes here and says the terms of the preferred terms of the ADL, freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach, I think it's bad. But knowing at the same time that I've not been shadow banned on Twitter, I've not been disabled any of my tweets or whatever, so I know that the space of freedom that they are currently protecting is probably bigger than they make it seem. And I'm totally fine with Iaccarino going out there on whatever CNBC that is. I'm totally fine with her going out there and over-representing the intensity of the speech violations that are done on Twitter. Because it's good for the ads, it's good for the normies. You know, they're going to reintegrate Twitter. They're going to think, oh, they got me covered. They are censoring speech. Because it's freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. So I won't see those ugly tweets. I'm totally in for her to publicly take that position as long as she keeps it very loose on Twitter and she doesn't go too harsh when she wants to cut reach. I would like to know if a tweet has been shadow banned. I would like it to be labeled. And I would like to be able to change my behavior. Like if I see, oh, this tweet is shadow banned because I use this word. Well, then I can adjust and make new words. But I'm fine with the compromise here, because what we're getting with Twitter right now is much, much better than what I was afraid we would get 4 years ago, which is complete banning and never coming back. Cloud Warmer has sent some super chats. He says, Jeff, wanted to ask you about something alternative hypothesis posted some time ago about the handling of criminals in Europe from roughly 14th century to 19th century. He put forward that so many criminals were executed before they could reproduce that this resulted in the disposition of Europeans' societies changing significantly to being genetically selected for less criminality, less psychopathy, sociopathy, etc. Would you agree with this? If yes, is it being reversed now with new policies of modern times? If yes, does this mean that criminality has its basis in genetics? Well, I've said my view about this before, and in fact, I've talked about this directly with Alltype back in the days we were speaking to each other and interviewing each other. And that is an aspect of his hypothesis that I really like. I think it's a nice explanation, and I've said before that I prefer this explanation for the evolutionary pressure onto Europeans to pacify them. I prefer this explanation than the theory of cold winter theory, where, okay, cold winter theory might explain some IQ, some thinking ahead. But I've never been super convinced that it was sufficient. Whereas the idea that we culled ourselves into law-abiding behaviors through religious persecution, basically the Catholic Church pursuing murderers and hanging them, that to me makes it, or you know, the Catholic Church or just local religious groups or local people bound by religion pursuing evil, and even the witch hangings and, you know, that kind of stuff, even if they were aiming kind of wrong, even if they were catching a lot of people that weren't the right people, somehow they probably were catching someone who was bizarre in one way or another, and this culling effect eventually makes it's wishful effect. It's kind of wishing something into genetic reality. Like, we're gonna pursue the murderers and we're the witches, and we're gonna burn them. Okay, now you do this. Now it turns out your justice system is so-so, and so you end up catching, instead of the actual murderer and actual witches, basically everyone who has accumulated too much social rejection credit. But by doing so, you're basically catching the weirdos. And basically, it's reducing the amount of antisocial behavior in your society. And of course, you're catching many times the actual criminal that did it. And so you end up farming a very pacified population, because you killed all of your weirdos, your murderers, or those people who, for some reason, were gathering the hate of the local mob. That may be what Europeans are. It may be what survives after everyone gets killed by witch-burning activities of absolute arbitrary aim. An absolute arbitrary and lack of due process type of justice implementation. Now, I went further than alternative hypothesis in my description of it, but I think it's very much how it could be explained. Yes, I do like this explanation of the evolution of low criminal behavior. Is it being reversed with new policies? Certainly, because we have this whole, our whole criminal system is based around second chances and third chances. It is very rare that someone on first instance of crime, unless it's a very heinous murder, it is very rare that they will be locked away for significant amount of times. And so you do get a reproductive chance that you may not have gotten in medieval Europe before. So yes, I do think that it's reversed in modern time. And you, your last question is, does this mean that criminality has its basis in genetics? Well, certainly I believe so. I believe so. Pretty much all human behaviors have at least a partial basis in detectable genetics. Cloud Warmer says, Sam Harris was in a documentary called The God Who Wasn't There from 2007. He made the analogy, paraphrasing, that judges who say we derive our rights from God, why not from Zeus? I asked the question to Sam, yes, why not Zeus or Odin? The shit he was advocating for 15 plus years ago is here and it sucks. Well, I don't know that this question about Zeus is as bad as current Sam Harris. Basically, I think he went down. Even that statement that you quote from him, I think it made sense in its context. I'm not sure that Sam can truly defend his current views against a true questioner. Of course, he can go on these podcasts that will be sympathetic to him, but I don't think he could take a hostile environment where someone like me would question his ideas.
How do you define healthy, though? Is porn healthy? Are conspiracy theories healthy?
You know, it goes back to my point about our success with freedom of speech, not reach. And if it is lawful, but it's awful, it's extraordinarily difficult for you to see it.
But how many millions of people follow Kanye West? Lawful but awful. And he's allowed back on.
You know, Kanye, who hasn't rejoined the platform yet, but is planning to do so.
Now that's interesting. We get insight. Kanye got his unban from Twitter, and I noticed, hey, there's a golden check mark on Kanye now. So Kanye did some business dealing here. He's preparing something to get exposure on Twitter. And he probably personally went to Elon Musk and indicated his intent to come back to the platform. That is an interesting detail I caught from this.
Will operate within the very specific policies that we have established.
Well, Steven Robinson says, breaking, number of impressions needed for ad revenue share at X, previously Twitter, has been slashed from 15 million to 5 million. Are you joking? Because I demanded this like 10 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago, I don't know. I will go check in my account to see if that's true. But you must be joking. Like, I can't be requesting something. What the fuck? What the fuck? I am eligible. I requested something 40 minutes ago live, and Elon has switched it. Whoa! I will show you to prove it to you. I mean, Elon is just a regular audience member of JFG Tonight. Look at this. This morning, this was saying ineligible. And when I was clicking on it, it was saying you have to get 15 million views. Now, at the beginning of my show, I say, hey, let's get this down to 5 million views. And within 40 minutes, I am eligible. And Elon has reasoned with my explanation. I said, you know, I'm getting radicalized. And Elon was like, I don't want a radicalized JF. Elon has decided that I would be capable of expressing my views. Relax. I don't mind making lots of money on Twitter. I just mind making a little bit. If I can get $10, $50 a month, ad revenue sharing, you are automatically eligible to get paid for your post as a premium subscriber, you are automatically eligible for ads revenue sharing. Your payout is based on the number of verified impressions on ads shown in the replies to your post. Set up your payment details now. Do you guys mind if, I mean, this is so great. Do you guys mind if I do it? Connect your Stripe account. BTC says Mark D's channel. Is BTC rising while all of this is happening also? BTC, well, BTC is just doing good. It's been doing good. Get paid by X. Yeah. Fill out a few details so you can start getting paid by X. I suspect they will need my cell phone confirmation or something like this. While it loads, let me go get my cell phone. All right, all right. Get paid in hex, says Stephen Robinson. Why not get paid in, I don't know, trash bags? If you're going to be paid in hex. Okay, number verification. Tup, tup, tup. Tup, 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 tup. Now they want all of these doxes of me. Okay, I will give you my dox. So address, name, confirmation of my cell phone number, Canada. Oh, they want a tax information. Okay, it's autofill. That's easy to do. Are you considered a U.S. person for federal tax purpose? I'm not showing it on screen because there's my details are on there, okay? But I can explain to you what I'm seeing if you want to share the experience. Are you considered a U.S. person for federal tax purposes? For individuals, a U.S. person is a U.S. citizen? No, I'm not. I'm not any of this. Individual, I am an individual. I am in Canada. Yes, I am non-US taxpayer. Non-US taxpayer identification number is not legally required because I am an artist. Tax treaty claims. Are you claiming a reduced rate of withholding under a tax treaty? Yes. Yes. Because because if you don't choose this, they take 30% of what you do. I'm an artist. I freely act within the territory of North America. Rate of withholding, 0%. Therefore, I pay 0% to the government of the U.S. because I don't want to. I don't want to fund your next video of a Ukrainian fake general that threatens me, like, or that threatens to kill my friend Coach Red Pill. So rate of withholding, 0%, because I am from the tax treaty chapter 12, paragraph 3, chapter 5, paragraph 7-1, the subsection on artists, copyrights. I am selling my copyrights to the American viewer through corporate deals. Therefore, 0%. All the money goes to me. You have to check these things, you know, because if I had not checked this, the US takes 30%. Now the money gets to me. The Canadian government wants a part of it. It's like you end up paying double. No, I'm a Canadian. I'm a Canadian artist and news broadcast person. I deal in the domain of copyrights. I don't have anything to pay to the Canadian, to the US government. I certify that I have the capacity to sign for the person identified as the beneficial owner, Jean-François Guerrier P. August 11th. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, it's August 10th. Oh boy, they want my bank account number. Holy shit. Guys, I'm sorry because this is a live show and all, but I really have been waiting for this for a long time. So I'm sorry if I'm losing the show and I'm not informing you guys anymore. But this is very important to me. It's a solid, you know, moment of my career. Okay, I'll give you my bank number here. You have to do it quick in case they change their mind. Yeah, exactly. And so it's like when Stephen Robinson said this, I thought he was shitting me at first. I was like, you know how important it is to me and you're trying to manipulate me. I thought I had to work still many weeks to find that 15 million impressions. I was like, nah. Okay, so now I've opened my bank account so that I can get my institution number. Bank account is doing good. Perfect. So, transit number. Institution number. Account number. That's it, guys. I'm entering the circle of Elon. I feel a light coming from... I mean, I wish I could explain the experience. I'm feeling a light coming from the sky with the face of Elon and everything. He's looking down on me as I fill my bank account number. Okay, agree and submit. I'm always nervous when I click on an agree and submit button. Redirecting to X, your application has been submitted. We've confirmed your pricing. Your application will be reviewed and if approved, we'll send you a notification as soon. You are on track for payouts. Thank you for creating on X. You are eligible to receive a portion of our ads revenue generated in the replies to your post on X. We want X to be the best place on the internet to earn a living as a creator, and this is our first step in rewarding. I'm almost crying, guys. Oh, man, it's been a long work getting there. It's been long work and... I know it's not important, but it's like I've been banned from Twitter. I've kept hate in my heart for this moment where I couldn't speak, where they were trying to crush me, where they were making everything they can for it to be hard to make my point on the public space. And here I am. Stephen Robinson says, all this being said, as your attorney, I would advise you to seek 15 million impressions in a 90-day period. Yeah, I mean, I'll still try to do my best, but at least I won't feel the pressure that I have to reach it. See, that's very different from a pressure perspective. I don't like that kind of pressure. It's like dishonest pressure. I like honest pressure. I like to be pushed by the limits of the world and to have schedules and we have to meet those deadlines. But I don't like having to perform above what is fair to me. Cloud Warmer says, JF, golden check mark means this account is verified because it's an official organization on X. Yeah, I know, but somehow I'm thinking that perhaps Kanye, in restoring his account, is paying the organization subscription because he's planning something around the presidency or something around jean selling or, you know, clothes selling of some kind. JF, I think it's obvious. Go away or shrink my mail is Elon Musk. That is very possible. You know, Elon Musk with a fake personality, just deceiving here. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, you need one of those NASCAR t-shirts with sponsor logos on the arms and chest and charge companies top dollar for the best locations. How much will Elon pay for right side chest top position? I don't know, bro. I'm just happy that Elon will be sending me money. As a reminder, make sure you maintain your subscription to X Premium or verified organizations and keep creating awesome content. Oh yeah, so it's not Twitter Blue anymore. I was wondering what was this premium thing in my account. Premium. But it's basically, they have renamed Twitter Blue X Premium. Okay, well, you can see it in my account right now. You are on track for payouts. Isn't that fucking amazing? That was my day, and I'm going for 2 days of vacation. It's a fucking awesome reward to get on a Thursday night like this. Holy shit. Yeah, I'm going on 2 days vacation in the sense that tomorrow there won't be a show. I will be on the Two Bits podcast to talk about the revolutionary phenotype. And then Saturday, I'll take a break. I'll take a break just to enjoy life and to enjoy my new status on Twitter. Well, what a beautiful way to end, to soon end the show. I wanted to check if I had other things. Wiped off the map. Hawaii, wildfires, level entire town. I talked about it yesterday, but now we learned that 36 lives have been lost in those Hawaii fires. I don't understand exactly how that works, but it's fascinating. People are making a big case about it. Basically, Governor Greg Abbott... Governor Greg Abbott has installed floating bubbles equipped with chainsaw-like additions to keep migrants from from passing. This meme here claims that two bodies have already been found trapped in the floating barrier. Is this real? Effort to design. So apparently this is like a chainsaw-like circular structure that is meant to hurt people who try to pass, basically. I don't know exactly how that works. Powered by water, so you don't even invest energy. It's like a natural chainsaw. And people were sharing memes of the, you know, the movie with the psychopath with a chainsaw, and he's there. But that is what these machines are seemingly doing.
Yes.
Look at this. Spikes. Metal spikes. To make it painful. Effort to design. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's the intended workings of this. But I'm fascinated that we've come to the point of systematizing the chainsaw defense. Just make a full line of chainsaws and make them powered by water somehow, and along with the floating bubbles, somehow they're just perfectly aligned to make it hard for the swimmer. You don't see this in Europe. You have to be in America to see anything like this. The mind of Donald Trump, why proving a lie will not necessarily secure a conviction for Jack Smith. Proving his state of mind will be controversial, but even if successful, it will not necessarily be determinative in the constitutional challenges to come. Here's the column. That is an interesting take. What did I find interesting? It's right here. What was missing was any serious consideration of the implications of allowing the government to criminalize false statements in a campaign. And they point to the fact that this entire prosecution of Trump relies on the assumption that the federal government sets what the truth is. And when the federal government tells you it's the truth, you have to accept it. And if you say something against it, then it's a lie. Well, it's not how it works. That's not the legal tradition. The legal tradition is for something to be a lie, you have to be convinced it's a lie. There has to be evidence that you believe in your heart that it's a lie. People are speculating about changing the Zuckerberg-Elon Musk cage fight into a cage debate. Elon Musk says, that sounds like a good idea too, but I don't want any cage debate. I've seen enough debates in my life. I want to see some MMA action between someone that I love and someone that I hate. Stephen Robinson says, take note, boys. Jeff is teaching the art of taking swift action. Procrastinating is for losers. Oh no, for these important things in my life, and to me, monetizing Twitter, being part of this history of Twitter getting monetized, to me, is very important. And yes, when I know something is very important, I want to get down to it very quick. I will pull any of the demands that they have. You want this paper? I would have been ready to scan pictures of mine here. I'm going to prove you my marital status. Whatever you need. Whatever you need. But yeah, you need to get activated on these things, because some people will just stare at the screen in front of a bureaucratic requirement. And I'm like, we need to shut it. We need to squash this bureaucratic requirement. We must respond to it in full. That's how I approach life. That's why overall, despite the fact that I don't like human beings, I'm still a good manager, you know, because I'm like, yeah, this needs to be done. This is what you need to do. And I'm still a good coordinator somehow. Aristophanes says, the real tragedy of the Sky King is that it illustrates that men with the will and cognitive ability to fly an airplane on a 90-minute sightseeing tour with zero formal training or preparation are relegated to working dead-end jobs because our political class has abandoned its obligations in favor of all sorts of bad things. I agree. And this was a reminder that a guy took a plane. He was eventually named the Sky King. He stole a plane, just had his fun, spoke on the microphone for his trip of 90 minutes flying into the air just to enjoy his suicide. He is the Sky King, and I don't know if it's a sentence he's actually said. I think he may have. Think of me once in a while. Take care. So today we remember the Sky King. Respect.